You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
The ADVFN Podcast with Justin Waite.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 313. It's the weekend podcast. So I'm joined by Stevie Stocks.
Hiya.
And Punting Pete.
All right.
Gosh, Steve's a bit enthusiastic, isn't he?
He is, isn't he?
Steve's been well into it this week.
Steve has caught the bug for I don't know how many podcasts we've sat here, and Steve just sat there passively in the background.
Looking out the window.
Yeah, looking out the window. No, actually, one time he admitted afterwards he was actually on the toilet doing the whole podcast and, you know, taking no interest whatsoever. And now he's finally caught the bug. Hey! So, Stephen, it's been a bit of a volatile week, but the last couple of sessions have been okay. And you chucked a bit more money in, haven't you?
Yeah, well, I was speaking to you, obviously. I had a bit more extra money, so I've kind of filled up my yearly allowance limit, and I've kind of chucked it all into Royal Dutch Shell. At that point, it was kind of right down, and it seems to have gone up the last 24 hours, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, yes. Very happy about that.
I think we may have seen the turn. You know, famous last words, but I think we may have seen the bottom of a commodity rout, including oil. And I just read a report recently, in fact, I tweeted it, about Bloomberg. It came from Bloomberg. And you know the big tankers, the oil tankers? They're costing now more than $100,000 a day, and it hasn't been that expensive since 2008. And so they reckon that China are using them to stock up oil and stuff. So you may have seen a bit of a turn here, you know? It may take a couple of years, but I think we may have seen a bottom. I mean, it may bump along the bottom for a while, but yeah. And like I said, you had cash sitting in your current account, waste of money, just sitting there doing nothing. That's like a fat man sitting on the sofa, you know, being paid dole. And, you know, there's a taxpayer saying, let's get some effort out of this. Let's get something out of this guy. You know, we pay him money. That's what your money's been doing, sitting on the sofa doing nothing, you know.
Where do you find your analogies?
I don't know. I just pictured Steve on the sofa. And, but now, though, you've got it working for you. Like, you know, near enough 7-8% dividend there. And so your money be paying. So it doesn't matter if the capital, you know, goes down in price a little bit. You're earning money on money. And but more importantly, what happened last week, Peter? The big favourites, eh?
What are you talking about now? What, Lloyds Bank?
No, we're talking of a sporting nature, men with odd-shaped balls.
This podcast is strictly about financial news, stocks and shares.
God, that was amazing. Do you know, even my most patriotic of Welsh friends, when I texted them saying, I said, were you watching it? Some of them said, oh, behind the sofa. You know, even they were like expecting a bit of a, and Steve said, you know, we're going to lose, aren't we? You know,
and
I often think, it's a good analogy here, stocks and shares. When everyone thinks, you know, you're going to hell in a handcart, whatever that means, then normally, and everyone thinks that, normally it's good to bet the other way, you know, when everyone thinks that the market's tanking and you should, because there was a time at the start of this week, I think, where there was that feeling of, oh, what's the point doing this game, you know, and it's blood everywhere, the stocks are going down, it looked like there's bad news upon bad news upon bad news on the horizon. All of a sudden it turns around and everyone's psychology changes. It's like, you know, no one saw Wales winning. Even a poll on TV said 81% of people thought England would win, and you know, it didn't play out.
The plot. Mind you, if you had seen the Fiji game before the England game last week, you would have probably thought they definitely would have lost. Terrible.
But do you know what? I just think sometimes when the script is like that, you know, and it's being an underdog, it's not too hard, is it? Because all you have to do is upset, you know, and play against form. England had to perform like everyone thought they did. They had to perform to the script. When the script changed a little bit, they didn't know how to improvise. You know, they think, where am I going here? Yeah. I don't know what to do. And it's not going as we planned. And it's quite easy when you're that confident that you're going to win. and it used to take a couple of knocks. It's quite easy to shake you and rattle you, and then all of a sudden it goes wrong. And I, you know, I didn't think. In fact, my brother texted, my brother texted me, he said, "What do you think?" I said, "Well, everyone thinks it's going to go one way." And I think when that happens, everyone thinks it's a foregone conclusion. It's always good to be a bit of a contrarian. And so I said, "I'm putting my money on Wales." And I said, "Wales to win." I texted about four people. And halfway through, it wasn't looking good.
Pete texted me halfway through the game.
Even Eggy texts back, "What, you still think Wales to win?" I said, "Yeah, hang on a sec." I said, "Well, do you know what? England's put all their efforts in here." Yeah. And I said, "They're only 7 points ahead. And they should be a lot, you know, further ahead, because they've had possession, they've had everything, and they can't seem to pull away. So Wales are keeping up with them a little bit. All we need now is a turning tide, changing fortune, and Wales can put some points on there." And,
but it was a very strange second half, wasn't it? From an England's perspective, it was bizarre the way they just kind of capitulated, but also, I don't know, some of the decisions in terms of pulling so many players off and changing so many things. I don't know why we were changing the team so much.
Yeah.
Just stick with what we, you know, a 10-point lead what we had. But anyway,
and also and that decision to go for the try. And I thought, hang on, the flow of the game is against you. Momentum's against you here, and you're expecting to score now against odds, because for a while, for like the last 15 minutes before that penalty, they were, you know, up against it. And I thought, they don't look like scoring. Why do they think now, all of a sudden, with the pressure on even more, 3 minutes ago, whatever, they're going to score? It's just ridiculous.
A draw wouldn't be any good for either of us, you know. Better for one of our teams to get ahead of Australia or something.
Yeah, well, as it seems, and we're recording this on the Friday night, England may be the only team ever to host a World Cup to never get out of the pool stage. That would be disastrous, Peter.
Yeah, I mean, if last week's game was big, tomorrow's game is just gigantic, isn't it?
Well, for you, I don't really care.
Well, you do. No, you surely do, because if England lose, you qualify.
Yeah, I do. In fact, I'm thinking, where can I go and watch it? I'm thinking, you know, I wouldn't mind going.
Exactly. Wales.
Yeah. Cool.
Or Australia, whichever's closest.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a big match, whether you're into rugby or not. You've got to watch a bit. You know, I'm not particularly into football. I like watching big games, though, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so Steve, have you bought or sold anything this week? Pete, Steve, anything?
Yes. Go on. You go first, Pete.
Oh, Stevie Stocks, come on.
All right, well, I bought two this week, actually. I bought 88 Energy. I got in with them. And also... and it's another oil company, actually. I can't remember what it is now. It's one you recommended during the week, beginning of the week.
Okay, that was, Hague and
London
Oil.
Hague, yes, so I bought H&L. Them today, actually.
What sort of price did you get there?
I got them for 13p.
That's all right. Well, the problem is now they're sinking a bit because... and it's a little bit annoying. I jumped on twice this week. I've jumped on a spike, you know, It's really pulled back a little bit. And I've always said that, don't chase the price till it comes to you. And, you know, sometimes when you see a stock up 70%, you know, one day, you know it's going to come back. But then I bought it the second day and it still went up. I was up on the day I bought it, but Friday it came back a bit. That was Circa Energy. This is what the thing is with Hagen and London Oil. Whenever you look at penny stocks that are not making money, they're explorers, you've got to look at a couple of things, right? And one of the most important things to do is just go on the last, say, results they've had, interim results, half-year results, full-year results, and look at the profit loss, the cash balance sheet, see if they've got cash, see how much cash they've got. Yeah. And then look at how much they've lost in that year, right? And that's basically the cash burn. And then try and work out how long left that cash will last. Than what they've got, because it says cash, and it'll say it's in a statement, and you can work it out. And it seems like, and they even said Hague and London, they said we got enough cash for 2015. So what that means is it's fine, because they've got cracking assets there in the Far East, so they're not going to go bankrupt or anything. And plenty of people will, you know, offer, you know, raise money. But I mean, they'll do a placing probably, which means the share price could come off a bit, which is a bit annoying. So you could have done with waiting, Steve, really.
Now, the interesting thing I thought, because I was listening to your podcast this week and you had the Duchess, Nicola Duke, on, and it was interesting to hear her analysis of the chart for Hague, in that she reckoned it would go right back down to like 6.5p.
Yeah, she reckons it'll come back to 200-day moving average, but I think it's such a huge spike sometimes, it may meet halfway in between. It may not even come down. It depends where the place now is. I mean, if there are companies... Normally, companies that are in trouble have to discount the placing, you know, to encourage investors. If it's a strong company with good assets, they may not have to do, you know, any discount. You can do premium to the price. Mm-hmm. You know, but and there's very few shares in issue, so there's no reason why it shouldn't be a huge discount to the price. But it worries private investors that new shares will be issued, and so that. But they've only got the 24 million in issue. Nothing. That is nothing. Absolutely nothing. You know, it's a ridiculous amount. So, in fact, someone tweeted me, said, "What do you look for in these companies?" And I just think you have to do fag packet maths. You know, you really just have to look how many barrels of oil are they likely to, they say they're going to get it out of the ground, and then you can. And I at the moment, because the oil price is low, like I applied just a $10. Profit per barrel, you know, so times that, and then you look at the market cap of the company and you'll see, hang on, this company's, you know, the profit they'll make in 1 year is bigger than the company if they yeah. get it out. So you realize you're under potential, and same with Serica Energy, you know, you can do, and so long term it's not a problem, Stevie, but you may see some short term volatility, but like I said, you should scale in anyway. So if you put a little bit in now, if it comes back a bit, then you can chuck another a bit more in, because
what's their situation in terms of cash and, you know, their stability at the moment? They're sort of funded for now, are they?
Yeah, until 2015. I think they have, right, they had 1.8 million at the start of the year.
Yeah.
And half-year results, they said they had, which out recently, they said they had 0.9 million. So obviously they're going through, 1,800 pretty much a year, you know? So
yeah.
So it's going to last them that 0.9 or £100,000. It's going to last them the rest of the year. And then I have to raise some money. But you say, it's only a real problem when there's a company doing it to survive, or trying to, exactly paid on debt. That's a problem then. But when it's to explore and to expand and to grow, it's a good thing. So it's not a problem really. I could have sat back and, well, that's one of the only things you look at. Just go into the results there and just look at the cash balance, how much cash they got, how much they're burning, how much they spent the last year, and try and look at it. They will say about exceptional items. Sometimes they'll say there's an exceptional item that we had to buy this asset or whatever. But
another question I had about sort of the penny stocks is that, like we say, some results are released and they jump, say, 70% in an incredible day. How do you analyse how good that news is going to be? So if you saw that report, an RNS or whatever, 7 o'clock in the morning, whatever, and you sort of look at that report and go, well, that sounds pretty good. How do you analyse how good that is?
Well, Serica Energy came out and they were like, they were at that time about, I think, before that 7% rise, they're about 16 million market caps on that, 15 million market cap. They had no debt. They had £10 million in cash. And they were talking about an average of 4,000 barrels of oil a day. They're pulling out already. So you think, if you're doing 4,000 barrels of oil, 10 times by 10, it's like $10. How much is that? 40,000 a day, right? Times that by 300 days in a year, and you've got a phenomenal amount of money there, plus you've got £10 million in cash. You think, hang on. And, you normally a market cap, for example, say you've got a PE of 10, which is, it's not highly rated stock, it's not an expensive stock, then that would be average. But this wasn't, as it was, there are PE of 0.8 or something like that, ridiculous. So it's just basic maths. You look at it, the cash, think they have cash already, almost the cash was half the size of their company, plus not including the all they're already pulling out of the ground. They had no debt, and also they got this tax advantage. There's a they can bring tax losses forward, apparently, to write off any losses they make. So they had all this going for them, and what happened was a re-rating, basically. Everyone thought, hang on, this is super undervalued, it was up when I saw it in the morning. And to be fair, I was told about Serica Energy for a while, about a month or 2 months before. In fact, this guy from Saudi, who was dressed in the old Saudi gear, tweeted me about them a while back. Didn't say a lot, just said that. I said, yeah, I'll look at them, because I'm looking at stocks all the time. And he mentioned it about a week later. I ignored him. And then I saw it in the morning. It was up like 20%. And I thought, what's happened there? So I looked at the RNS. That's good. But I didn't want to get in up 25%. You don't want to get in. It ended up 70%. So realized, but even now, people are saying it's underrated. 9 pence. It's still in at fair values. 16 to 19. Well, it's all different estimates. Some people say 40 pence it should be. Some people say 25 pence. But most people are saying it should be well above where it is now. In fact, probably now, while there's uncertainty there about this raising of money, it's probably a good time to get in. Because, once the uncertainty is removed, it'll probably, shoot up again. Because it's nowhere near fair value, Serica Energy. So it's undervalued, definitely.
Given the two, if you're looking to invest in either Hague or Serica, Serica, by the sounds of it, have quite a
That's it. They don't need their money yet. So, I think all that's happening today is when you rise that fast, you do get a lot of sellers. You know, people will sell.
Of course.
Because why wouldn't you? Because there've been people sitting on that. If I look at the chart, you know, there've been people sitting on that for a while, and they think, you know, and even when it's 70% in one day, I think it rose before that day, and so there'll be people who have doubled their money in that quite easy, and so they're just thinking, I'm going to take some money in this. And I saw a girl on Twitter say, I've sold my Serica, just get out. Get some money. They're down 9% on Friday. Look, market cap 21. Like I said, just market cap 21, and the half of that is in cash. They got no debt,
And a very small spread.
And they got, you know, you literally do. So I mean, I was very conservative, right? I said right. So, and this is they're going to get higher margin than $10 a barrel because what's it? It's barrel of oil equivalent. That means, and that's gas and oil. So gas isn't as hard hit as oil. So their margin will be higher than that. But if you do, even if you do 3,000 barrels a day times 10 equals 300, times 300 days a year, that's 9 million, right, in profit, you know? And so you had the 9 million now to the 10 million where they are, and that's pretty much, you know, 1 year's profit plus their cash, and that's their market cap already. You think, wow. That is underrated, you know? So normally you would have a company quite easily dealing on, you know, 10 times that 9 million. So that's 90 million. A PE of 10 would be around that. So, you know, you can see there's a huge amount of upside. It's just when a stock always rallies like that, you know, due to technical reasons and everything and people selling, it has to consolidate and come back a bit. So it's be interesting to see where it comes back to. But, there's definitely, you know, it's a good deal there long term.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stevie, what 88 Energy is a good one. The only thing we've talked about this before, haven't we? There's a huge amount of upside there.
Yes.
Dave Wall was saying a billion barrels of oil if they strike it, 25% chance of that. But you know, you've got to have a punt in there because if they do strike it, that will go through the roof because it's a huge amount of upside. You know, billion barrels of oil, massive. So you've got to have a go at that. But like I said, you'd be prepared for. But do you know what? The share price, I mean, what you could do is just because this is happening this year, you know, we will know this year what's happening in the drilling. And I think even when the action starts happening, there's a good chance the share price will rise just on good news of the drill starting and then the spudding and all that. So, you know, if you want to, you could probably, it'll probably shoot up there. You could pretty easily put a stop loss in, you know, where you bought and make sure you don't lose any. It's because if there's any bad news, then it'll shoot through the floor. So, so you can just get out, really, you know. But that's the kind of thing is worth having a punt on with huge upside of that. It's worth it. What did you buy, Peter?
Well, I got into SEB or CEB Resources. And I'm quite proud of myself because I let the price come to me.
What did you get?
0.95, I think it was.
Okay.
Well, I bought them actually, I think it might have been this week as well, actually, or was it last week? But I bought them at £1.09, so I'm quite disappointed about that.
£1.09, Steve, you were ripped off!
From a guy at the pub.
Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you what, mate. I can get you some SEB Resources of £1.09. Sounds a deal.
I guess I've all the hype of it 2 weeks ago or so. I've been watching it, and I didn't go to sort of put an order in at the support level. I couldn't bring myself to do that, so I went a bit higher than that. I think the support was at sort of 0.88 or something, wasn't it? But so I did something like 0.95, and that triggered when it had a bit of a down day or two in midweek, didn't it? And and then it's up.
Okay, up by the end of the week. Why are you in SEB?
Because of the whole story. I mean, I have to say that your interviews with Dave Whitby swayed me a little bit, and then I actually read up on what they're doing and they're his background, just thought that's one of these penny stocks I want to get into. I don't know how long I want to be in it for, but I don't know how long the play out's going to be. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, do you know what, I'm going to say something now that won't be very popular. I've pulled back on SEB this week,
right?
And I tell you why. I believe in Dave. I think he's an amazing guy. He's got a track record that speaks for itself. But I just think this is my portfolio, right? The biggest holding I have is Royal Dutch Shell, because I just see them paying a nice dividend, and over the next few years, I see the oil price gradually, stabilizing, then rising a little bit. Second biggest holding is Asia Met, and I see that because they have assets there. And yep. they have also Tony Manini and his guys there. You know, also an amazing track record. But they have assets. Now, Dave Whitby, as yet, the assets are coming in. I mean, they are going to announce. They are going to announce assets. But part of me thought, you know what? I'm up. What's it up? I was up over 50% in them. And mm-hmm. I had a bit of a big chunk in them. And I thought, there's lots of other companies I want to get involved in. I didn't have any money to invest.
No.
And so I thought, do you know what? I'm prepared to get back into Seb, you know, definitely, when the assets come out. And they may shoot up, but they'll come back. We all know stock prices do that. But at the moment, because there's rumours of how many assets, and apparently he's, in the meeting we're saying he's not buying these assets. He's been sort of farmed in. In Indonesia, there's a lot of distressed assets. You know, oil prices are low. There's old oil fields are not performing. They're inefficient. They're not getting the money. And they're trying to work these oil fields using diesel pumps and all this stuff. And, you know, Dave apparently was going to go in there. He said, listen, we can do that. We can make this oil field efficient for you. We can double or triple the output of oil, and we will be using gas, which will come from the oil fields, to power the generators, so you won't be spending $40 a gallon on diesel or whatever, whatever you spend, to get the oil out at a loss. So basically, we'll make it efficient, we'll make a profit, and we're going halves for you. So apparently, he's got a lot of these assets, a lot of these fields that are open to and do this. So I think it'll be an amazing business model when he does it. But I want to, but you know, and I trust him completely. But I just thought I've done really well, 50%. I had a big chunk in them, and until that comes in, I'm going to pull back a little bit, and I'm going to look for other things while it has, while it happens. You know, because I honestly think Seb's a long term story. I think he will be a big company. You know, and Dave thinks getting to 50 million market cap is doable. You know, in the medium term.
Yeah.
So that's quite. That's only 9 million now. So that's, you know, that's 5 times your money there. I don't think he's a liar. You know, he seems like a very honest, nice guy who I've spoken to, and I wholeheartedly believe in him.
Yeah.
But I just think, as yet, do you know what? Nothing's ever, you know, nothing's ever a dream ticket, ever. You know, and I just think I've done really well, not on that price so far. I mean, you know.
Pete, is there ever a time when you really hope that this one does really well now?
Yeah, of course, and that time is now.
No, but I'm still in there. I'm still committed, but not as much as I was, because I just wanted to put money elsewhere. Like, I mean, you know, like, there's lots of good little companies out there worth investing in. I didn't have any cash left, so I thought I'm going to spread it around a bit.
There seems to be, obviously, in the resource sector at the moment, it's obviously a good time, or potentially a very good time if it is at sort of the bottom of the cycle. There seems to be a lot of potentially really good companies. It's quite difficult to actually sort of then work out which ones, and I think it's probably best to kind of hedge your bets.
I see this like, you know, if you go to this is an analogy, right? If you like we do some years we go to you know, Cheltenham to watch the horses, right?
Yep.
Do you go there and put all your money on one favourite, or do you have a gamble on a couple of races, you know, of all different favourites? That's what I'm thinking. So I'm thinking that, you know, Seb Resources is a favourite, definitely, and it's a, you know, it's a big strong player, it's very favourite to win one race, but there's other horses in other races as well. Plenty of horses out there, and
I thought Paul from Metal Tiger was good on your podcast the other day when he was saying about you know, out of 10 stocks, you know, if 6 or 7 of them or something are good and they perform, then it covers up, or, you know, it makes up for all the other ones that, you know, obviously underperform, and you lose money on.
But you know what? We are in a unique situation. You're right, because there are companies out there with assets that are worth money. But when the commodity sector has been hammered like this, no one wants to buy these assets off you. You know, you can't even sell them. And you think you're struggling. So everyone's struggling. But you wait for a little turn in sentiment, and literally you will see these a lot of these companies, big assets, having issues raising money to do some, you know, exploration. Then all of a sudden you'll see money start coming back into the market, and these will multi-bag a lot of them. You know, you will see you've got a bit of money in a few of these stocks with good assets and good management, and they'll multi-bag. You know, your portfolio double, triple, you know, in a year or so. I mean, it's hammered. It's all hammered. It's all under, you know, overly sold.
Yes. The thing for me was just on a personal thing of not diving in, and I did actually wait on this one, and actually, you know, I feel like I bought at a good price. Good company at a good price, which is what you always say, Justin. You see, I'm listening.
Yeah, do you know what? It is. It's true. Good company. It is a good price. This is what I think about it. Seb is, I mean, a huge amount of volume changes hands. Dave is highly thought of, which he should be, because he's an amazing tractor. He's a lovely guy. But you know, the old, you can't beat cliches. And the old thing is buy rumour, you know, sell the fact.
Yeah.
And I think, I'm not saying it will, but when the assets, you know, when Dave presents the assets,
yeah,
you know, people are hoping for the sky, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
people's dreams and ambitions and hopes are always bigger than reality. Reality is a lot more grungy and a lot more complicated, you know? And yeah, I just think when the fact comes in here, it's almost, when it's written down, it's never as pretty as what you imagine in the sky. And that's why they say, buy on rumour, sell on fact. And I'm just thinking, even if the assets are amazing, you know, will they live up to what people believe in their heads? And often, in fact, you look at this Seb share price, and whenever there's been a bit of news released, the share price has come back a bit. That's the last time I bought, was after there's been a bit of news come out. And it happens with all companies, you know? It's like, especially companies that are highly rated, because they can't possibly live up to the hype and expectation, you know? It can't be done.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like when you see a film that's raved about and everyone talks about this film. You want to see the film and you go and see it and you think, oh, that's all right. It wasn't too bad. But you know, it's like that. Yeah. So no, I believe in them. But just I thought, well, let's spread the money about a bit. Let's get somewhere else. That's why I bought Serica and bought you know, Hagland and Oil. And what else I bought? I bought Savannah Resources this week. I quite like them because they had a deal recently with Rio Tinto, one of the biggest miners in the world, but they've been hammered since. And I thought, wow, they're still going down a bit. And I just think they're next to nothing. Surely they've got a good resource there. And also, I like a few other companies, but I'm waiting for the price to come back on them. What's the other one? I had them on the podcast. Horizonte Minerals. Oh, yeah. They just bought a nickel sort of mine off Glencore, which was hammered. You know, Glencore being hammered, haven't they? And they're now, there's a market cap of like seven, 8 million. So that they're one of the biggest resources of this kind in the world. And I think when you hear that, right, it's just a small company with, and they have done a placing at 1 pence. They're about 1.5 pence. They did come back today, but I think there's, you know, I just think that's you know, when, like I said, when the sentiment on commodities turn, you've got to think this company has got a huge amount of asset there, you know, and they can make a lot of money off that. And like I said, only 400 and, well, over under 500,000 shares in issue. Yeah, market cap 7.4. And the guy I was chatting to, the CEO, I can't think of his name there, Jeff Martin. But he's only 38. He's the CEO of his company. He's 38. I thought, wow. What? And he's always been in that company. So I think I like that. Who else do I like? Plutus Power Gen, I interviewed on the podcast. And since I interviewed them, the share price went 9% the next day, 12% the day after, and I didn't have a chance to get into those. But I think that's a nice business model. So, yeah, it's lots of opportunities out there. And I thought, don't put all your eggs in one basket. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Have you had any sex this week, Steve?
Change the subject there.
No, none this week.
But Steve, you did end up last week, didn't you? In the gay bar! Gay bar!
I did, after the England-Wales game, actually.
See, we joke and we have laughs and joke, but the thing is, you did end up, after the Wales-England game, you ended up kissing and snogging a fella in the gay bar. Now, was that Pete?
No.
He was far too far away.
Yeah.
Did he text you, Pete, come to this bar, you like it a lot. So, Steve, how did you end up? Was it just the hormones dragged you there? Or how did you end up at this gay bar?
It's because I was out with all my gay friends.
How many gay friends you got?
49.
I've got quite a few, yeah.
I just
seemed to be out with them that night, since I was outnumbered on the gay to straight ratio, so we ended up in the gay bars.
Have you really got some gay friends?
How is that so surprising?
I just like the question. No, have you really got some gay friends? Well, that's modern, isn't it? Wonderful. Wonderful. And but do you have any gay friends, Steve? Seriously?
Yes.
Who are they? I don't know them, do I?
You know some of them, yeah.
Name them.
Are they all out? Are they all...
a couple now that are married with kids. He's not out. Yeah, but hang on. I don't understand this. Steve, now, gay people are in the minority, right? You were going to a rugby match in Cardiff. Yeah. How were you outnumbered by gay people? How many were there? Was it just you and two others?
No, it was one, two, three. There's four. No, it's four. There's five of us in total. The other four were gay.
There's no way!
What?
Because Stevie's very cosmopolitan, isn't he?
Very metrosexual.
Yes. No, seriously, what all men?
Sorry, at what point do you think I'm lying here?
Well, hang on. Are they all gay men?
Yeah.
Are they? Who are they? Who
no
are these gay people you talk
on the
of?
Podcast me naming their names.
Yeah, name and shame.
They don't mind. If they're gay, Steve, they don't mind being gay, do they?
No, I don't mind saying it, but just got no interest to
okay,
anyone.
Name some straight friends.
Right, it's a very strange conversation.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you go on the Pride March with them?
No.
Well, I don't understand. I don't know anyone you know apart from Dave, who we used to work with.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't say you know four of your mates that are gay. Steve, that could have been tricky, couldn't it? Did you get really drunk in a gay bar? But you said you got the telephone number of somebody.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
But it happened to be a straight lady.
What does it happen to be? I'm not going to get that wrong, am I?
Oh, I don't know. Well, you end up in a gay bar.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Of all places, Steve, you've been in the last year or so when you've been sort of single, right? And you haven't pulled, mostly straight bars, I assume. You go into a gay bar with four gay guys and you sort of get a number of a lady.
Oh, it's the best place to go and pull in gay bars.
Yeah, but it depends what you're pulling. If you're pulling, you know, that, yes, it is.
There's plenty of straight people in gay bars. You have people like me who are in there with their gay friends.
Yeah. We know the story. So what happened to this lady then?
No, she didn't reply to me, so I've deleted her now.
No, that'll teach her.
Oh.
But, so Steve, listen now. Name a couple of, just do initials.
I'll say it is. It's Dave, Chris, Darren, and Ollie.
They just made up names there.
I actually think of their names then, yeah.
Kelvin, Carl, Connor, Craig, Pete. Yeah.
Steve, you were by yourself, weren't you?
Yeah.
It was. Well, that's wonderful, Steve. Anyway, nice to see you living a lovely gay life there. That's wonderful. Wonderful. Did you actually go to the game?
No, I watched it in a bar.
Okay, cool. All right.
The game was in Twickenham.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
There you go.
So. Okay, we got off subject a bit here. Oh, we did.
Yeah,
we
good.
Did.
Right, anyway.
Did.
It's been lovely talking to you.
Yeah. Where are you watching the match, Peter?
Here in London somewhere.
Okay.
I might go to a gay bar.
Well,
and go to a gay bar and see
if
I can find
Steve. That's the place to get a bit of action, isn't it?
Yeah.
A bit of action.
I'll be there.
Okay, cool.
Right, okay, good.
Any other stuff we should talk about?
No, really. Let's leave it there.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we've all had plenty.
Yeah, we've... all right, well, Steve, have a nice night, and... I'm quite impressed there that you've gone out with four gay fellas.
I know
to impress you in the future then, don't I?
But I'm
go out with six gay guys next time.
No, but listen, if I tried to appear, I'm in the broadcast media, I don't know four gay guys I can go out and have a drink with. That's amazing.
Well, you know, I try.
You're quite gay friendly, Stu, though, aren't you? I mean, gay men fancy you.
Well, I don't know where we're going with this.
Well, don't they?
I don't know.
Okay, Steve, you better do a disclaimer. Not for the, you know, for all people of all colours, creeds, sexual orientation. I think we should start a straight march, don't you? I'm straight. I'm proud. What do you think?
Yeah. No. Straight pride. Anyway,
I have sex with women. Yes, deal with it.
Do not buy any shares on any of our recommendations. Do your own research.
Yeah.
I have sex with women. I'm married. I don't have sex very often, but I try.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
The ADBFN podcast with Justin Waite.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday.
That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.